Right now, it's pretty even. About 52% for Shador. That swung back. But Mug on Twitter says, hope for what? Wins this year? Wins next year? It's like, buddy, just vote on the damn poll.
You don't get to ask a lot of questions. I guess you can ask whatever you want.
Well, but I think the point is, that's the beauty of a social media poll, is you can infer it the way you want it.
I like people like Mug who want to know exactly what he's voting on. Because it really shapes whether or not he's going to vote it one way or another. It's a very me way of thinking in many ways.
Yeah, I think it's a very us way of thinking.
I just don't want to cast my vote to something I didn't mean to cast it to.
Have you ever done those, like when applying for a job, where it gives you like 10 questions, and then the next screen is very similar questions, slightly different wording, and they have to like rank each question on like a agree, somewhat disagree, that whole thing.
Well, it sounds like a test. Yes. I don't think I've ever done it with a job interview or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever passed one because it is the biggest mind bleep that you can possibly have for me. Because if you change the wording just a little bit, it changes the entirety of the question to somebody like me.
Yeah, I used to always, in those test questions for like ACT prep and all that other stuff, I would want clarification. And it's like, there's only one answer. And I'm like, no, I could make it multiple answers. I know I could make this multiple answers.
Yeah, really, the question stinks. And you've asked it a different way. And this question also stinks. So I passed it once. I tried to get a job at Quicken Loans when I was just out of college. And
like what, selling like mortgages or something?
Yeah. Doing like
rates and such?
Yes, I don't even remember the exact job. But I remember at the end, so they did it, and I must have passed. And then I go through two rounds of interviews. I come back for the third one, and I was just talking to the person, and I realized there was a camera. I realized later that there was a camera in the wall where apparently multiple people were watching me. But then they're like, they ask you questions like that in the interview.
Wait, why were they watching you? Is this a security thing, or do you feel like they were watching you?
No. They were like trying to observe. They were just very thorough
what kind
in their
job. Were they going for? Where you got multiple people watching you on camera?
Entry level. But they looked at
that
me.
That should not be the case.
And they're like, this guy is suspect. No, that you can run your job search any which way you want. But I always remembered, it's like, I think in that third interview when they started doing the agree, disagree, strongly agree, strongly disagree, neutral. I just think I can, in print, total mind bleep. In person, whatever, it's total mind bleep on steroids. Couldn't handle it. Couldn't hack it.
I don't want to speak poorly of your interviewing skills. I always felt like I always thought highly of your interviewing skills.
Yeah, until you get me in those dumbass questions of like, what happens if you catch somebody stealing something?
So this is why radio works so well for you, though, is because that's not how any of these radio interviews ever go. Because like radio interviews for jobs, they never ask you, they don't try to trip you up with any of that
stuff.
No.
They're like, will you accept this pay?
Can you start tomorrow?
Yeah.
And are you comfortable working holidays?
Are you comfortable degrading yourself in the public eye for others' amusement and being called a moron on social media?
When the Hornets draft a player to their team, will you make jokes about his last name, or are you cool with just rolling with the punches?
And then you say, I'll make jokes about their last name. They're like,
you're hired.
And by the way, 10% raise.
It was a trick question, guys. They don't want you to play the game. They want you to make jokes.
So we're talking about optimism for the Browns this year. Optimism for the Browns with either Joe Flacco or Shador. And you posited something that I think is very, very important, but it doesn't change the answer here, which is, could Kevin rig the job? Which this happens. Like, could Kevin rig the job for either Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel? Yes, he could. And not just him, the coaching staff. I mean,
it's his job that's on the line.
Well, but we make the biggest mistake of acting like every person in every organization buys into every player in every organization. Or that once an organization drafts a player, they do everything to help a guy succeed. This is not specific to the Browns. I've known for a fact that there have been scenarios that I've covered teams where it's like, yeah, that coach just doesn't like that guy, and he's just not going to help him. I don't want to say that for anybody specific to Cleveland, because I have never seen evidence of Kevin doing that. Even in the Browns' previous iterations, we've seen evidence that has been reported of guys just being like, yeah, that guy's not their guy, so he's not going to get the kind of love and whatever.
Well, and ultimately, a lot of this process is going to be subjective. I know we don't like to look at it that way in sports because we have so much data and so much numbers, but a lot of this will be I see it this way because of my experience. Here we go.
And because of that, no matter whether you think Kevin's going to do this honestly or not, the Browns owe it to Kevin Stefanski with his job on the line to let him make that week one decision.
No question.
And not just week one, probably week 11 and probably week 18 as well.
And that's, I have a hard time thinking that it'll actually last throughout the entire season.
Fair.
I mean, we've gone over the reasons why and because why I believe that, but I'm 100% lockstep with you. Like, if this is going to be the make or break year in many ways for Stefanski, and we get to find out if he's a quarterback whisperer, then guess what? We got to find out who he exactly likes and who he thinks he can win with.
And listen, the one leg up that I think of this quarterback room than previous quarterback rooms is Kevin Stefanski was a part of choosing all four of these guys. And that is different. He didn't choose Baker. He might have been part of choosing Jacoby Brissett. It wasn't about Jacoby Brissett. It was about getting to Deshaun Watson, who I think he chose because Deshaun Watson was here, and if he didn't want Deshaun here, but Deshaun didn't necessarily fit his system. All four guys, Kevin Stefanski was a part of choosing, and all four guys fit what Kevin Stefanski wants to do in one way or another. So
yeah,
if we're going to use that, and I think the Browns internally might be using that as a basis of like, well, you were frustrated Deshaun didn't fit your system. We got you four guys to fit your system. That's not enough. I might have my criticisms of Kevin in some places that I get frustrated where I feel like he falls short. All those I think are fair. But to do this the right way, and honestly, to get a fair, it's not always even just about being fair to Kevin. To get a good evaluation on Kevin. You know, like, that's another big part of this.
Yeah, it's a big part of the whole, what this upcoming season is. I mean, I remember we talked a couple weeks ago about, like, what's your biggest non-quarterback story? And for me, it was Kevin Stefanski, what he does in this season. And a lot of what we tie his worth to is the quarterback spot. Like, when you think about a defense to your buddies for Kevin Stefanski, what do you go to? You go to the quarterback spot. Like, you try to tell them and convince them that he knows what he's doing there. If that's his biggest defense, then he's got to hit this out of the park.
And he's got to be allowed to hit it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can't be playing with golden handcuffs here, and he can't be playing with any sort of restrictions or limitations. Like, he's got to be able to make his decision.
And so, like, I think it's got to be for the whole season. But bare minimum, you got to give him till the bye to allow him to run that quarterback room, meaning he's the guy that decides each week who starts. And by the way, it might be a move that you and I disagree with.
I probably will disagree with it. I feel like Kevin and I are not lockstep in a lot of decision making. Andrew Berry and I definitely are not lockstep in a lot of decision making.
You don't like that. You like it when we're lockstep.
Well, like, I'll take it because their record isn't very good right now. I don't know that I want to be in bed with those guys.
I think it's very likely that you could get 6 weeks into the year, Kevin has a mini panic and goes to Dylan first. And we're going to have to live with that. Because if that's what he wants, again, if he picked these guys and that's what then you have to let him have that. Even if, listen, I'm not sure to be the guy that's like, you got to give him enough rope to hang himself. Yeah, that is what this season's about. And the reality is, I don't think Kevin will, but listen, there's some folks who feel like they were brought back to be slaughtered at a different day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That also might be true.
I've wondered that aloud.
And that also might be true. It still doesn't mean that you should change the way you operate this quarterback room this year, because you should at least operate in good faith with Kevin and in fairness with Andrew as you try and just take this thing to wherever it's going to conclude.
Well, that's where some of the control by Stefanski, I feel like, does settle in, is that, like, if he's going to put his job on the line and he's going to try to, or in that instance that we implied, win his job back, then he's got to be able to have belief in the person, and he's got to be able to, and that's where I think the favoritism is going to come into play here. He's got to be able to think that I can win with this guy, and it's the guy that I brought to the table. And so, I mean, it's going to be fascinating.
The early results here in the Twitter poll, 55% now saying Shedeur Sanders, 44% saying Joe Flacco. I would really love to break down this in terms of age demographics, because every single person I speak with from down home in Wadsworth, a lot of people my mom's age and even like closer to our age are just like, man, we got to get Joe out there.
I think it's amazing how many people have seen it the way that I see it, where I want Joe until I want Shedeur. And if I go Joe to Shador, I'm going to be really, really happy. And I've noticed that's become more and more of a trend of that thought process, because I think it gives off hope in a couple different areas.
Is who starts at quarterback week one Kevin Stefanski's decision, and should it be? I think we both agree. Whether you think Kevin's a good coach or not, the answer is yes. It should be. He's the head coach until he rehires himself or does the opposite as well, and is... It's an on-schedule, unintentional trolling of Cleveland Guardians fans in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.